It's good to be here, and I'm thankful to the Lord for the hope that I have. We have a hope. We have great hope in Christ. We have great expectation and great anticipation. And I can listen to things that are said. I can listen to beautiful lyrics that have been written in songs. When the first song was sung tonight, I can hear them singing over there. I begin to think about those that I have known and loved in this life that have gone on. And I can anticipate, being with them again before too long and rejoicing in the presence of the Lord. I know this, that none of us certainly know what everything about what heaven's going to be like, but I do know this, that when we're there, we're going to worship the Lord forever. We're going to worship, and I'm certainly looking forward to that. But God has given us another day here to labor. And we want to take advantage of that, try to serve Him, try to honor Him in our weak way. And my prayer tonight is that those who are here right now that don't know the Lord, my prayer is that you won't leave that way, that you'll be saved, that you'll come to Him. This could be the best day of your life. If you will just mind the Lord and look to Him and seek Him. Again, I want to ask for your prayers. I want to read some scripture. If you would like to read along with me, I'll ask you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I want to begin reading with verse 8 and then read through the end of that chapter. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning with verse 8. It says, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken, we also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God." And I want you to listen very closely to these last three verses. "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." And again, that is completing the fourth chapter of 2 Corinthians, therefore, this scripture reading. And I want to speak tonight about things that are temporary and things that are eternal. The Apostle Paul in this spoke about the makeup of man. He spoke about what we truly are as human beings. And I fear that there are a lot of people in the world today that don't understand this, that don't understand the truth, the reality of what we actually are as the human family. The Apostle Paul spoke about a twofold being, a twofold man. He spoke about us being inward and us being outward. He said that there's a great difference in the two, because the outward man is perishing and the inward man is not. The inward man is renewed day by day. And I really think that the proper way to look at that verse, I think what Paul was actually saying was that the outward man is perishing day by day. The inward man is renewed day by day. Every day that you and I live, we get closer to the outward man perishing. None of us are getting any younger, are we? When the time rolls around that we have another birthday, we don't get a year younger, we get older. And we are all headed in that same direction in the outward man. If we look back to the second chapter of Genesis, we read about God creating man. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, it says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." And we really see in that the same thing that Paul was writing here to the church at Corinth concerning the inward man and the outward man. Moses said that God formed man from the dust of the ground. And what he formed from other things that we read in the scriptures, we are made to know that what God formed when he made Adam, what he formed from the dust of the ground was the outward shell. What he formed from the dust was the body. And the Bible teaches us that that part which was taken from the dust is going to return to the dust from where it was taken. But then we also see in that verse that when God formed Adam, when he formed man from the dust of the ground, that there was nothing, there was no vitality there, there was no movement, there was no functioning until he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And it was at that point that man became a living, functioning human being. And so what he did was, the term used there, the breath of life, God breathing into his nostrils the breath of life, means that he breathed into him a spirit. He breathed into him an eternal spirit. And that is the way that you and I are made. We are inward man and we are outward man. The Apostle Paul in, I believe it's in the 7th chapter of Romans, he said, "For I glory of God in the inward man." And so, you know, there again, we read throughout the scriptures in different places where the Bible tells us about how that we are made, that we are made of two parts, that we are twofold, that we are that which is outward and we are that which is inward. Now, one of these days, the Bible also teaches us that one of these days, that inward man and that outward man are going to be separated. And what that is, in a word, is death. When death takes place, I'm talking about natural death, that's what happens. Death is the separation of the body from the spirit. And this the body, as I said, goes back to the dust from where it was taken, and the spirit unto God who gave it. And so I want to talk to you tonight, as I said, about things that are temporary and about things that are everlasting, things that are eternal. And listen, there is an eternal realm, and we are eternal beings. And if you're here tonight and you don't know the Lord in a pardon and forgiveness of sin, if you have not been born again of His Spirit, let me say this to you, that you need to be much more concerned about what is everlasting than you do about what is temporal. And, you know, we read about things in the Scriptures. We read in the 12th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. We read there about a parable that Jesus spoke concerning a man that had nothing on his mind but temporal things. And, you know, unfortunately and sadly enough, there are a lot of people on earth, there are a lot of people living right now. There are people living in Hendersonville, Tennessee, that are not thinking about anything but the things that are temporary. And, you know, we need to embrace the truth of the Word of God, because, listen, to try to deny this and to try to hide from it, or to try to dismiss this from our minds by simply not talking about it, is not going to change anything at all. Folks, we're going to die. We're going to leave this world. This life that we are living here is temporary. And we have been assembling here this week. Paul spoke about things being seen. He spoke about things that are not seen. And we've been assembling here with one another this week, and we've been enjoying fellowship, and we've been enjoying the presence of the Lord. And we look at each other and we see one another. We see one another in this outward form that God has given us. But one of these days, all of us are going to be gone from here. There's not one of us here tonight that's going to live on earth forever. And there's not a person anywhere on the earth that's going to live on this earth forever. We are an eternal bound being. And you need to believe that. And you know, honestly, the truth is, according to the Scriptures, actually, we all know that, don't we? In Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 5, the wise man Solomon had this to say. He said, "The living know that they shall die." We're aware of that. We all know that. We know that from what we have heard. We know that from what we see. We know that every time we pass a cemetery. We know that every time we look at the obituaries. We experience that. We hear about that. And we are well aware of the fact that we are going to die and leave this world, that this life that we are living here is just a temporary life, and it's going to be over. And listen, according to the Word of God, it's not just temporary, but it's also very short. Listen, if you're here tonight and you're lost and without God, you don't have any time to waste. Because death is something that none of us, although we are aware of the fact that we are going to die, yet it's something that none of us really know when it's going to come. And I'm going to tell you something that death accomplishes every day. Every day, death takes people by surprise. There are people that woke up this morning, if God allows time to go on beyond this day, it'll happen tomorrow and it'll happen the next day. There are people that leave the walks of this life every day that when they rose from their slumber in the morning, they had no idea and no thought that it was going to be their last day here on earth. But before the day come to close, they had departed this temporal life and gone to eternity. And you know, I can't even begin to tell you tonight how awful, how terrible that it really is. I can't even, in this sermon tonight, I won't find the words to really explain to you what a great tragedy it is when somebody leaves this life unprepared in their soul. You know, your inward man is not going to perish. Listen, you have an eternal existence. And beyond this life, there are only two places. There is no place in between. There's a heaven to be gained. There's a hell to be shunned. And that's it. And those that leave this world lost and unprepared to meet God will spend an eternity in the torments of hell according to the scriptures. And God's word is truth. His word is truth. So, James, in his epistle, he warned about those. I'll get to the Lord's parable here in a moment. But in the epistle of James, he warned about those that make big plans. You know, go to now ye that say, we're going to go into a certain city, and we're going to continue there a year, and we're going to buy, and we're going to sell, and we're going to get gain. And he said, you know, that boasting like that's not good. I'm not quoting exactly what he said, but that's what he was saying. You know, that type of boasting is not good. Why? Because we don't really know what we're going to do, do we? He said that what you ought to say is, if the Lord will, we will do this, and we will do that. I've preached that before, and I've told this little story that my grandfather used to tell me. He said that there was a man that had a cow, and he was going to sell his cow. And so he took off down the road with his cow, and he passed a man at his house, and he said, "Where are you going?" He said, "I'm going to sell my cow. I'm taking my cow to the market. I'm going to sell this cow." And his neighbor said, "You shouldn't say that. You ought to say, if the Lord is willing, you're going to go and sell your cow." And the man said, "No, the Lord has nothing to do with this. This is my cow. This is my business. I'm going to go and I'm going to sell my cow." And so he got down the road just a short distance, and a band of thieves jumped him, beat him up, and took his cow. And so he started back home, and he passed by his neighbor again, and he told him what happened. And his neighbor said, "Well, what are you going to do now?" And he said, "Go home, if the Lord is willing." Listen, we don't know what even tomorrow holds. We don't even know what the rest of this day holds for us. In the 27th proverb, Solomon said, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." And so, listen, it's important, it's essential that we redeem the time that we have, that we take advantage of what is in front of us right now, because we don't know. We don't know what lies beyond this day. But what we do know is that our life here is temporary and it's short. I remember reading in the 47th chapter of Genesis how that when Jacob finally came to Egypt, that the Pharaoh asked him a question. It's a common question. It's a question that people still ask people today. I asked Brother Rob this question before service tonight. The Pharaoh asked Jacob how old he was. In Genesis chapter 47, I think maybe verse 9, he said, "Jacob, how old art thou?" And Jacob said, "The days of the years of my pilgrimage have been 130 years. Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been." And you know what? I seriously doubt if there's any of us here tonight that'll see 130 years old. But this man, Jacob, had seen that. He had lived 130 years and still said that his days on earth had been few and had been evil. In the 14th chapter of Job, Job said, "Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble." Friends, we're not here forever. In fact, we're not here for very long. Listen, the opportunity that you have to seek the Lord and find salvation and have a home in heaven before you leave the walks of this life, the opportunity that you have for that is very limited. Very limited. And one day, before you know it, if you put it off, it'll be too late. It'll just be too late. Jesus, in the 12th chapter of Luke, he spoke about a parable concerning covetousness. He said, "Beware of it. Beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things that he possesses." Boy, and there are a lot of people like that in the world today. I mean, they think they've really got a grip on life. They think they've got everything figured out. They believe they've got all their future planned out as to what they're going to do. They are just caught up with having all of these temporal possessions, never giving thought to the welfare of that part of them which is eternal. And so Jesus spoke about this man that his ground had brought forth plentifully. He had experienced great produce. He had experienced it to the point that he couldn't store it anymore. And so he was going to tear down his barns, and he was going to build bigger barns. And then he was going to store his produce, his fruit. And then he said, "I'll say to my soul, soul, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry, for thou hast much goods laid up for many years." And Jesus said unto him, "Thou fool, this night, thy soul shall be required of thee. And then whose shall those things be?" And he spoke about in that parable what it means to be truly prosperous. True prosperity doesn't come from temporal things. Those who are truly prosperous are those who are rich toward God. Let me tell you something. If you want the best of life, if you want something that's really good, if you want something that'll make you happier than any material possession ever will, if you want something that'll make you happier than money, happier than fame, happier than any type of social standing, you come seeking Jesus and you get saved by His grace and you'll join the ranks of the happiest people on earth. You know why? Because I'm able tonight to stand here before you. There are many here tonight that are able to stand up and say, "You know what? It is well with my eternal soul. It's well with that part that is within that's going to go on beyond this life. Beyond this life. There again, if we look in the second chapter of James, and friends, this is coming to you and I. In James chapter 2, verse 26, he tells us, he explains to us there, in fact, defines what death actually is. He said, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also, being alone." The body without the spirit is dead. Remember what we said about Adam, how that God formed his body from the dust and it did not function. It was without life until God breathed into his nostrils a spirit, until he breathed into him the breath of life and he became a living soul. And when that spirit is called out of that body, that body's going to return to that same condition. It's lifeless. It doesn't function anymore because the part of it that moves and motivates, the true part, the true man, has departed. Has departed. And the body just no longer functions without it. They may lay my body in a grave one of these days, but they're not going to put my spirit there. Amen. They're not going to put my soul there. By the time they bury this clay in the dirt, I'll be singing with those over there. Amen. I'll already be there. I'll be rejoicing in the presence of the Lord. What Jesus was talking about in that parable is, forget about these other things. Don't worry about these other things. They're just temporary. They're not what really matters. What really matters is being rich toward God. What really matters is knowing the Lord. What really is important is being able to say, listen, no matter what happens to this body, no matter what happens to this temporal part of me, if it leaves here, if God is finished with it today, if he's finished with it tomorrow, if God calls my spirit out right now, Brother Tim, just like Job said, just like you quoted, God's going to call and we're going to answer. If he does that right now, what a great joy that it really is. What a great peace that it really brings. What a great blessing it is to be able to say, if that happens to me right now, that's fine. Because it's well with my inner man. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you exactly what I believe. And I know that I believe this from God's Word. For a child of God. And we need to take comfort in this. For a child of God, there is nothing in death to harm us. Amen. Nothing. That's why the Scriptures tell us that the righteous hath hope in his death. There's nothing to harm us. In fact, the Apostle Paul wrote about how that he yearned for that day to come. He was certainly willing to continue to stay here as long as God would have him to, and to labor in the gospel. But Paul said, I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is what? Far better. Far better for me to live as Christ, and to die is gain. You know what though? If you've not been born again, that's not true for you. If you've not been born again, it's not gain for you to die. If you've not been born again, it's great loss to leave this world in the condition that you're in. Maybe it'll come today. I'll tell you what, the human family ought to really stop and take a look at just how frail that we truly are. We're not tough. We may think that we are, but we're not tough. We're frail. You know how frail that we are? Every one of us here tonight, we are nothing but a single breath away from departing this temporary life and going into eternity. That's it. just one breath, that final breath, when that that final breath can come at any moment, and we're gone. Isn't it something to think about? You know, a person is born into the world. We don't know how long we're going to live. Solomon, or Moses rather, in the 90th Psalm, said the days of our years are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for we are soon cut off, and we fly away. Isn't it something to think about? People are born into the world. Some people live here 80 years, 90 years here on the earth. They accomplish some things throughout the course of their journey here. But you know what? If we really look at reality, for every one of us, no matter what we experience here, listen, there's coming a day. I've said this many times. There is coming just that little bitty moment of time for every one of us when it won't make one bit of difference how big your house was, or how small your house was, or how new your car was, or how old your car was. It won't make any difference at all if you had a lot of money in a bank account or a little bit of money in a bank account. Listen, we're all coming to that one little moment when we draw our last breath in this temporary life, and the only thing that's going to make any difference at all is whether or not you're ready to go. That's it. We came into the world with nothing. And it's certain we won't carry anything out. I'm glad I got it fixed up with the Lord. I'm thankful that I've been saved. I'm thankful that I can go through life from day to day with joy in my heart, with peace in my soul, with contentment in my life, knowing that everything's all right. The battle's already won. I've already experienced the victory, because it doesn't really matter whatever happens. It's okay. My eternal joy has been fixed. And I don't want anybody, you know, when I leave this world, don't feel bad for me. I'm going to a better place. Listen, if you have not been born from above, you just can't say that. You just cannot say that. You can sit here tonight and you say, "Oh, preacher, come on. I'm a 12-year-old. I'm 14 years old. Come on. Give me this sermon about death." Let me tell you something. I could take you to cemetery after cemetery in this land, and I can show you markers testifying that people have left the world when they're 12 years old. People have left the world when they're 14 years old. People have left this world at every age. And friends, listen, it still stands true. You have no promise of another day. You have no promise of a tomorrow. I mean, how many of us in the middle of the night? I have several times. How many of us have got a phone call in the middle of the night? So-and-so's gone. That you never expected to hear that. We don't have a hold on life like we often think we do. Your life is temporary, and your life is frail, and you only have a very short window of opportunity to get right with God. And you need to take advantage of what God is giving you right now. Right now. You're going to die. You're going to leave this world. You're either going the way of the grave, or you know, you may be one of those that are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord. But either way, you're leaving this world. None of us are staying here. And you need to get ready. You need to make your preparations. You need to come to Jesus and seek Him with all your heart, that you might be able to say, "It's well. It's well with my inner man. It's well with my soul." Let's sing. Let's give an invitation. If you're here tonight lost, invite you to an old-fashioned mourner's bench. Come up and pray. If you feel like you need to pray where you're at, pray where you're at. But what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to come to Jesus, seeking Him with all your heart. And you'll be ready to die. When you get that fixed up with God, you'll be ready to die. You'll be prepared for your hour of death. You'll be prepared. Let's stand and sing. Number 250.